Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 9th chapter, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, texts 1 and 2. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada, Grihada Sishu, Yashoda, Nandagehini, Karmantara, Yuktasu, Nirmamanta, Swayam, Dadhi, Shishuka Vacho, Sri Shuka Vacho, Ekada Grihada Sishu, Ekada Grihada Sishu, Yashodanandagehini. Yashodanandagehini. Karmantaram yuktasu. Karmantaram yuktasu. Nirmamanta svayam dadi. Nirmamanta svayam dadi. Shishuko vacho. Ekada grihadasishu. Yashodananda gehini. Karmantaram yuktasu. Nirmamanta svayam dadi. Shishugra Goswami said, Ekada, one day, Grihadasishu, when all the maidservants of the household were otherwise engaged, Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Gehini, the Queen of Nanda Maharaj, Karma Antara, in other household affairs, Niyuktasu, being engaged, Nirmamanta, turned, Swayam, personally, Dadhi, the yogurt. You want to read text number 2? Yani yani hagitani tadbala charitani cha dadi nirmantane kale smaranti tanya gayato. Yani, such, iha, in this connection, gitani, songs, tadbala charitani, in which the activities of her own child were enacted. Cha and Dadi Nirmantane, while churning the yogurt, Kale, at that time, Smaranti, remembering, Tani, all of them, in the form of songs, Agayato, chanted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki. Shishugra Goswami continued, one day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day, or Deepa Malika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child, Krishna, was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter, because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry, or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Shishu kuvacha ekada grihadasishu yashodanam bagehini karmantarani uktasu nirmamanta svayam dadhi yani yani hagitani tad bala charitani cha dadhi nirmantane kale smarantitanya gayato. Shishu Gregoshanta, and she was feeding him her breast milk and observing his beautiful lotus-like face, which is adorned by black curly hair, and he's got red lips like the freshly cut bimba fruit, and he's got a sesame, a nose which is the shape of a sesame flower, and he's got very elegant ears, and his abdomen is very exquisitely formed like a conch shell, and his entire body is the texture of fresh butter. It is very soft and delicate. So Krishna was very happily drinking his mother's milk. But Mother Yashoda saw that in the kitchen, the milk on the stove was boiling over. So she put Krishna down to tend to that milk, because all the maidservants were busy doing so many other chores. So Krishna did not take it very... He did not like this, because when a child is being breastfed and it is put down, usually it starts to cry quite vigorously, as you might have all experienced. This is actually the most captivating sound that is there in the universe. When you have a small child which starts to cry intensely, I'm sure you have practical experience of this. The second most captivating sound usually is the sound of your own cell phone that goes off somewhere. Usually somebody starts jumping and then running outside. And the third most captivating sound usually is the sound of your own voice. So Krishna did not like this. So he became angry. And he took a stone and he broke the butter pot. And he ate the butter. And he also went to the other room where he did the same by placing a mortar upside down and fetching butter from the pots that were hanging from the ceiling, breaking those pots and feeding it to the monkeys. And then he left the scene of crime and went into some other room, and he had tears. But it is explained that these were, you think, these tears were, you know, what's the word? False tears. Crocodile tears, yes. Crocodile tears. So anyway, we're not going into the whole story because this is a very, very wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the coming days the speakers will elaborate on this beautiful pastime. But here, the point is that Mother Yashoda was very happily singing Krishna's glories, and she was doing so in making her own songs and her own verses. And in this way, she was continuously remembering the Lord's pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the devotees who are eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day should follow this practice and follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, he had an unlimited appetite for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit would tell him the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. And Mahaprabhu would say, please tell it again. And it's a long story. You all know in the Bhagavatam, there's many chapters. And after he was done, he said, please tell it one more time. He had him repeat the same story 100 times. His appetite for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam was so great. Srila Prabhupada himself, he was very happily hearing his own books. The devotees were reading his own books to him, because he said that these books are not, they're not my books. Krishna has written these books. And I was just the instrument. So, to be constantly engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna's name, form, pastimes, and activities is the activity of the devotees. Satatam kirtayanto mam yadantas cha bridavrata namashyantas cha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. And the devotees are continuously deriving great joy and pleasure in doing so. Because Krishna and Krishna's holy name and his pastimes, they're none different. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasa vigraha purnashuddha nitya mukta abhinnatvam nama nami no. Krishna and his name, Krishna and his pastime, Krishna and his form, they're none different. They're identical. They're of the same nature. So the devotees are always eager to hear about these transcendental activities. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his discussion with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy gave him so many different processes and so many different answers of what should be done. Mahaprabhu rejected all of them. What was the first one that he accepted? To hear about Krishna from pure devotees. That was the first statement that he accepted. Yes, this is very good. Please continue in this way. Please carry on. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the devotees, it is described that to have the attitude of a very eager listener, like in Bhagavad Gita, it is explained about the qualities of a disciple, that one should be very attentive and inquisitive and have a submissive attitude. But many times, I find myself, when I read Srimad Bhagavatam or when I hear classes, that sometimes I catch myself thinking that, I'm sure this thought may have crossed your minds, I already know. Has this thought ever crossed your mind? I heard this story somewhere before. Why is he telling the same story again? I know the story better than the speaker. In fact, I have told it many times, much more elaborately and eloquently. But the problem is, as soon as these three words, I already know, appear on the screen of our mind, we become incapable of accessing the pastime. Even when we're reading, as soon as we think, I have heard this before, it just becomes an eye exercise. We can't really penetrate and explore the meanings, the depth of these teachings. Because this presumptuousness, this arrogance, it is like a covering, a coating, an umbrella. It prevents us from accessing this mercy. I was distributing books in India, in Pushkar, I know Pushkar Prabhu is not here, but we have Pushkar here all over. So in Pushkar, there's a big festival at the end of Kartik, the same time when this Damodar pastime took place. And there's a million people who gather there in Pushkar, in this holy place, in not far from Jaipur, for the last few days, the last week of Kartik. And there's a camel fair. And they all go there to visit Lord Brahma's temple, the only official temple of Lord Brahma. And there's six of us doing Harinam and book distribution. And Pushkar is a very conservative town. I mean, very conservative. You can wake up at 3 in the morning, and all you hear at that time already is people doing puja. Bells from every house, mantras being chanted, all the people going for snan to go and take bath. So, very orthodox place. So we had wonderful time doing Harinam Sankirtan there. And I went into one store, which was a travel agency. There was about 5 young men, very nicely dressed, with elegant Western dress and attire, and all the accoutrements, and nicely combed hair. And I wanted to show them Srila Prabhupada's books, but they said the magic words, "We know everything." I am knowing everything. Have you ever heard these words? I am not knowing English, but I am knowing everything. So I said, and then they all took out the Brahmin threads and they were all waving them in the air and proving to me that they were great descendants of the local dynasties. And I appreciated them and said, "This is very nice, gentlemen. I really am very glad to meet all of you here. I am just a little mecha from some mountainous tribe somewhere in Switzerland. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, I've come in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam, so I've got one question for you. What are the duties of a Brahmin?" There are 6 duties which are described. Now anybody who knows these 6 duties will get a book for free. Bhagavad Gita free of cost, free gift, no charge. And they did not know. So I quoted Yajan Yajan, Patan Patan, Dana Pratigraha. Anybody knows what it means? Please explain. They did not know. So I said, okay, let's move on. What about Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, text 42, or is it 45? I don't remember. It's early in the morning. The qualities of a Brahmin. 42 or 45? One of the two. So, and nobody knew what it was. So, I said that Srila Prabhupada has given us this Bhagavad Gita and has given us this explanation. So, and they said, "Okay, all right, you win." And they all took out money and put money on the table. So they put 500 rupees down. And they said, "Okay, we've taken all your books." I said, "Yes, but please read them because I will come back next year and we will do the same thing again." So, to be eager to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita requires submissiveness. And to come up with that submissiveness, with that humility, is an essential quality for Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu won the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He won the heart of Prakashananda and the Mayavadi Sannyasis by his humility, because he was so submissive and humble that he had captured their attention. And thus, they surrendered and they listened to him and they took his instructions. So humility is the key element by which we can actively listen, we can actively hear and absorb ourselves in these pastimes and really relish them to our heart's content and then share them with others. So, this section of Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled and translated by Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan when he was already in his last months. And you can imagine that his physical condition was not very good, not very well. So he was just very emaciated. And it was practically like Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But if you read Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev, even though being in this condition, he spoke many, 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 many instructions to the Pandavas in a very clear and lucid mind because he was so fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he's making very subtle points and very deep, profound statements. Even though physically he's not in a very good condition. So we can see that the pure devotee is transcendental from the physical situation because of always being absorbed in the pastimes and in the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the same way, let us become eager to absorb ourselves in these pastimes and in this nectar of Krishna consciousness. And then we can share it with whoever we meet. I was just in the holy town of Udupi, and if you want to know the three top places to go and distribute books where nobody will refuse you, you want to know a place where nobody will refuse you, I'll give you the top three places. Number one place is Udupi. You go up to any person and you say, Hare Krishna. And the person will respond, Hare Krishna. And then you say, my dear sir, this is a book about Krishna. Do you like Krishna? And they will say, I love Krishna. Krishna is my hero. And then you will ask them, can you please give a donation for Krishna? And they will say, yes, sure, of course. So nobody will refuse you in Udupi. Please try it out. And Udupi Krishna is a very wonderful young boy, just in that youthful age of very mischievous activities, like stealing butter and doing so many other activities. The second place where nobody will refuse you is in Varanasi, in Manikarnika Ghat. It is the place where they're burning the bodies of the people. I was there distributing books, especially if you have Beyond Birth and Death. Because that book really fits the occasion. Huh? Everybody is there and they have this smashana vairagya. They have this renunciation because of the burning place. So they're looking at the flames and everybody's kind of very emotional. And it's an intense atmosphere. But if you go there with some compassion in your heart and you give them the book, nobody will refuse you. Guaranteed. Even the tourists who go there, the Westerners, to take pictures, something happens to them. They just become changed by the whole atmosphere. Because it's quite a sobering environment. And the third of the top places is Aholbilam Ugrastamba. If you're in Aholbilam up on Ugrastamba, you can just wait up there. You have to take a little backpack with some books. Because it's quite a height. And it's quite a climb. And then everybody who comes up, you say, Hare Krishna, welcome to the top of the world. You've made it to the top of Ugrastamba. And people will be so scared and so frightened, they will buy the book. Nobody will refuse you. And usually they're so tired and exhausted that they got no energy to refuse you. So just some ideas. If you feel a little despondent, it's a little hard sometimes in your local habitat to interact with people and to share Srila Prabhupada's teachings with the world. Now, when I was in Udupi, I had the grace of meeting some very special people. There was one Ayurvedic doctor, and he told me, he said, I'm a doctor, I should not be telling you this, but I still tell you because you're a devotee. There's two ways of taking medicine. One of them is taking medicine the irregular way, and the other one is by mantra. He said, the more you learn the art of chanting and hearing mantra, you will never have to take medicine for the rest of your life. He said, if you just learn the art of chanting mantra and hearing mantra properly, you will never have to take medicine. So that was quite astounding, coming from a doctor. And also, he told me that in this world, everybody is lying and cheating and stealing and scheming and doing so many things to gain wealth, to gain friends, to gain influence. But for what? Huh? He said, all you need in life is five friends. Do you want to know what those five friends are?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you. Even if you don't want to know. That's the kind of person I am. He said, all you need is five friends in life. And they're very easy to be found. He said, you need one person We need four people to carry the stretcher and one person to light the fire, to light the flame. And these five friends, they're already waiting for you at the design destination. They're already waiting for you. So there's no need to do any of those activities to try to make an impression on anyone in this world, because your five friends are already waiting for you. And one time we were discussing about the world and how things are going and how medicine is not working and food is not working and doctors are not working and sadhus are not working and everything is kind of bad. And he said, but there is one good quality in this age of Kali. And I said, what is that? And he said, that simply by the chanting of Hari's name, you can achieve the supreme perfection in this age. And I said, doctor, what happened to you? Are you Hare Krishna? And he said, of course I'm a Hare Krishna. His name is Madhusudan. So when I gave him Srila Prabhupada's book, he stood up from his desk. He took off his shoes. Now he had many holes in his socks because he's a bachelor. And he held those books to his head and to his chest. And he took the donation and with both hands folded, he handed me the donation. And he was so respectful to receive Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, what does it take to be a doctor? What does it take to be a person who can help other people? I asked my friend Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who is an allopathic and Ayurvedic doctor in Mumbai, and he said that the primary qualification is you have to be able to feel the pain of your patient. If you can actually feel the person's pain, you can be a good doctor. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he felt the pain of each and every one of us. And that's why he tirelessly traveled the world and he sacrificed his sleep to give us Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Skanda Purana, it is stated that a person who has Srimad Bhagavatam in their home, Lord Hari and the principal 30 demigods, devas, they reside in your home, if you have Srimad Bhagavatam in your home. And what is the use of all the scriptures in the universe if you do not have Srimad Bhagavatam? And a Brahmin who does not have Srimad Bhagavatam, he's worse than a chandal, a dog eater. So this is Skanda Purana. So in the spirit, in the same mood of charity starts at home, let's be charitable to ourselves before we can show charity to others. Let us accept this greatest gift of Srimad Bhagavatam into our lives by reading it daily, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, in the association of the Vaishnavas, and sharing it with others. And this will create so much abundance, it will create so much taste, that the hearing and chanting will become so intense and so strong, because community means common ground. It means common interest, common goals. We really feel that we're together in the same boat, going in the same direction. And instead of just asking how is business, or how is the weather, or how are things, we'll ask devotees, what's your realization from Srimad Bhagavatam? What did you read? What's the nectar? Prabhu, please tell me, what's the nectar? Aishtam yata punar janma jayaya. How successful are you in crossing over the ocean of repeated birth and death? Please share your realizations with me. That is what we will try to absorb from each and every devotee that we meet. So this is the mood and the spirit of why we have come here, to get your blessings and the dust from all your feet. I know you're humble and you don't want to give dust, but there's a lot of dust out here in New Ramanreti, so we can just take benefit of that dust by walking around in this holy place. Your lordships are exquisitely beautiful and all attractive. It is astounding. It is really, I'm without words how beautiful their lordships are. So Srila Prabhupada has blessed all of us in such a magnanimous way by being present through the deities, through the holy name, through his books, and through so many wonderful devotees. I'm walking around here in the grounds and I'm meeting devotees everywhere. and they are showing their mercy and their kindness by sharing their realizations and their wonderful Krishna consciousness with me. So thank you all for your sincerity and your hospitality. There's many devotees who looked after me and who've shown me hospitality, so I'm very grateful for that. Thank you all very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Is any comments? Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
I have a question, because you were speaking today about book distribution in India.
Yes.
Of course, I know you have much experience in Europe and other places in the world as well. And sometimes when we hear the tremendous numbers coming out of India, we think, oh, well, that's just because, you know, they're Hindu culture or something like that. But do the devotees there also have to go through the yajna, you know, of distributing books and the rejection and the struggle like it?
Yes. Thank you for your question. Did you understand the question? Do the devotees in India also have to go through the yajna, the sacrifice, to distribute the books? You hear these huge numbers. You know, 2/3 of the world's book distribution is in India. How are they doing it? Well, there's two ways. A lot of people, each doing a little bit. Many, 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 many members of our congregation are doing a few books in their own environment, in their own circles, in their own jobs. But then the big drive is in the month of December, when the whole country just goes all out, goes wild on book distribution. Now, even those books which are sponsored, it is a big yajna. Like my friend in Delhi, Rakesh Oberoi, he's a short, little person. He wears a suit and a tie. He's reading the financial papers every day to see which company is doing well. And then he sends prasadam and cakes to those CEOs and CFOs, and he establishes a relationship with them. He works all year till he can close that deal. And when the person is ready, he makes that call, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj jumps into the vehicle and drives there. And they give him the garland and give him the frame and give him everything. And that person then takes 5,000 or 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas. So it's a big yajna. It's a huge austerity. Anyone who has ever traveled in India or tried to manage or do something in India has seen that it's an austerity. Of course, people are more religiously inclined to, especially the Hindu population, but then at the same time, money is a real issue in many places. So here, affluence is there, but the inclination, the interest may not be that great. So I would say that the odds are even. That's my perception, that Krishna has even the odds in every place. Like, you go to some places, people are not very intellectual, but they're so hardy? They're so soft-hearted, they're so kind, that they will just appreciate anybody who comes. So it always balances, it always evens out. But the yajna is tremendous of what the devotees are doing. Thank you for that. Yes, Mataji.
Well, I was just going to mention, not to be devil's advocate, but one issue that we have here in the States is that religion has been expelled from schools. I mean, young schools, you know, the younger elementary schools, the
yes.
schools, etc. It's illegal to worship.
Yes.
Teachers have gotten in trouble for even, you know, mentioning something about God and whatever. So I just wondered if you could speak about how we might be able to do it. Because I actually want to actually preach to young people as well. Because I think it's good to start.
I'm amazed how, thank you for your question, how in America everybody believes in God, practically speaking. Even though there's all this, you know, atheistic and materialistic and capitalistic propaganda, still, God is big in the United States. So don't let yourself be fooled by whatever may be, you know, the modern fad. It's just some official statement. Actually, people are very much into God. It's just a matter Even people who are saying that they're atheists, they're believers. Everybody here is a believer, because otherwise you can't survive in this environment if you're not a believer. You got to believe into something. You got to have a cause. The question is, what do you believe in? So I don't think we can reverse this trend in a short term, but the more spirituality, true Sanatana Dharma is being spread, the more things will balance out. But it's always extreme. I found America extremely attractive because you got the best and you got the worst right in the same place. And it's so much in your face that it's quite interesting. So it's a very interesting mixture. You have some countries which are very bland. They're very kind of mediocre. It's like mid-range. There is no highs and no lows. You feel like you're hearing mono all day long. But here things are very, very extreme. You got the full range of the spectrum. So that makes it very interesting. So I would see it as a blessing, not as a curse. Any other points? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.